But thinking of being alone and thinking of solitude, I remembered a poem written by Robert Frost. It's called Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Now, many of you may have studied this in college, but I want to read it for you because it's about a man who's got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to do, but he takes a moment just to stop, as it were, take a breath, and enjoy a moment of nature before he hurries on his way. Here it is in the words of Robert Frost. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there's some mistake. The only other sound's the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep. I hope that you have times in your life when you take a moment just to be alone and enjoy moments with God, enjoy the beauty of creation. But we're not talking about being alone tonight. I want to talk about loneliness. So what's the difference between being alone versus being lonely? Being alone is exactly that. You're the only one there. No one else is around. You are occupying space by yourself, and so you are alone. But you can be very content and be alone, or you can be very miserable while you're alone. As a matter of fact, there's a program on television, I guess it's ran on different channels across the years, but it's called Alone. The boys and I watch it sometimes, and I'm slowly making my way through the season that they are alone in Australia. What they do is they take 10 people, they carry them to some wilderness-like area. It could be frozen tundra or up in the northern part, or in Australia, these swampy areas in Tasmania, and they put these 10 people out. They give them an area they can camp in. They don't get to see each other. They're separated, and the one that lasts the longest wins $250,000 or $500,000, whatever the prize may be for that season. But they can't carry any food with them. They can only carry 10 items, and so they're alone. And so they need to have basic wilderness skills, survival skills, and so forth. They had to forage, they try to fish or trap an animal in order to have food. It's just pretty interesting. Some people think it's quite boring, but I like it. But that's just being alone. And what I found interesting is some of these people, you know, they're real skilled, and some of them have been special ops and all that kind of stuff. But what many of them, they tap out. That's when they take their satellite phone and said, officially tapping out, come get me. Numbers of them tap out because they miss being with other people. Some of them thrive out there. But a lot of them, they miss the contact with other human beings. So there's a difference between being alone versus being lonely. Lonely, you can be in a room full of people and be terribly lonely. You can live in a house full of people and battle feeling lonely, because loneliness has to do with connecting with other people. Look at this scripture. Early in Genesis chapter 2, where we have the creation account, it's just God, Adam, and everything God had created. And God makes this declaration. It is not good that man should be alone. God created human beings to connect. In order to fulfill God's plan to be fruitful and multiply, there not only needed to be a man, obviously, there needed to be a woman. And from them, the whole human race has populated. But connection is God's idea. And we see it modeled in the Holy Trinity. between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this beautiful communion. Some of the language is confusing to us sometimes, but how that Jesus is with the Father and the Holy Spirit's with Jesus, and we're in Christ. But all of this is really about connection and communion and relationship. So God created us to connect with Him and with each other. The first two chapters of Genesis, it was working smoothly, perfectly. God and man were in perfect fellowship. Man and woman were in perfect fellowship. And then the floor dropped out from under them due to sin. What is loneliness? Look at this, Psalm 25, verse 16. The psalmist cries out, "Turn to me." This is a prayer. "Be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." He's lonely and afflicted. Here is loneliness is associated with pain, affliction. And it's the idea of like feeling alone even when you're not alone. You're not connecting. Loneliness is not merely the absence of people. It's the absence of meaningful connection. Meaningful connection. Now, we have more opportunities to connect with more people than any time in human history. You know, I can pull out my phone right now, and I can do a little video, and it'll be in front of hundreds, or some people, they can do a little 15-second video and be in front of a million people just like that, connecting with them virtually. And there can be some great things happen that way, and there can be some terrible things happen that way. But that's not the kind of connection that we were made for. It's like the little boy that in the thunderstorm, and his parents said, "Go to bed." And he finally came and said, "I need somebody with skin on." You know, we were made to connect, to touch, to be with one another. So meaningful connection. A person that's struggling with loneliness is feeling, it may not even be reality, but they're feeling and perceiving that they don't have meaningful connection with anyone else. And that creates loneliness. And what causes these disconnections that birth loneliness? Here's a short list of things that we can just kind of jump through. Life transitions, and you can see there, moving, divorce, loss of loved ones, death. Grief is, when you lose someone that's close to you that you've been deeply connected with, and because of death, that's removed from your life. Now, gratefully, as believers, when you have a loved one that knows the Lord, you know it's temporary, that there will be a reunion, you'll see them again. But that doesn't make the missing them go away. You know, there's a pain there. And there's a void there. And there can be loneliness as a result of that. And Mickey and I will be, this coming January, it'll be 48 years that we will have been married. And she doesn't look any older than that, really, but 48 years. And I can't imagine what it would be like for her not to be there in the recliner by me in the room where we spend time and at the table and part of my life. But some of you, even tonight, you're having to deal with that because you've lost a spouse. Some of you have the ache of losing a child. Oh, that I can't imagine the pain of that. Parents, a good friend, but the loss of relationship because of painful things like death, it can put you in a situation where you're struggling with loneliness. And another area would be betrayal or rejection, because you were in what you thought was a meaningful relationship and it turned south, and maybe there was divorce, or you were betrayed, and or you were abused or hurt in some way, and it's like your plans fell apart. But now there's walls up because of the pain that you endured from entering that relationship. Now, that becomes a wall to keep you maybe from connecting in a meaningful way with other people. And so we have to learn to pray through that and process that and even identify it. Another thing is unrealized expectations. Again, even in friendships, maybe there's expectations that are unmet, unfulfilled, and it's like, I put a lot into this and I'm not getting a lot back. And so why expend the effort? And again, you can build these walls and not, am I rattling up here? Sorry about that. Is that better? Okay. These unrealized expectations can be a problem. Another one is personal barriers. We're just different. We have people in this room tonight. You are energized when you're around people. You love being around people. You don't like not being around people. You're social critters, and you just love it. And then there's others, and I probably tend more toward this one, that I can be around people and I can love it, but I need my alone time, you know. And then there's different levels in between. Some people, they start shutting down if they're around many people. Maybe they're shy. That's their disposition. Or there can be reasons why they don't want to be around people. And, you know, that can vary person by person. But we're different. Some people's got to be with folks. And some people's perfectly fine having a few days just by themselves with no one around. Again, you can be content and alone, or you can be with lots of people and discontent because you're not connecting. So there's a lot of different ways this thing can go. That spiritual dryness, a sense of distance from God. You know, Augustine, he wrote in a prayer where he basically says, O Lord, my soul is restless until it finds its resting place in you. Now, I mentioned earlier in this definition of describing loneliness that we were made to connect with God and with others. And the vertical is very, very important. It affects the horizontal. Because God made us such that we can have a lot of happiness and a lot of joy in meaningful horizontal relationships, in other words, human to human. But nothing can replace the void that only God can fill in your life. Now, I remember, this has been a number of years ago when I was still pastoring in Baptist church. I lived in Hayleville, had a dear brother that was a deacon in the church. I loved him. God really used him in my life. He was spirit-filled, I came to discover. But he was always happy. He was always encouraging. And I remembered him sharing a story with me. He said, I was away on a business trip in New Orleans, Louisiana. He was in sales. He said, I was away from home. And said, I was so lonely, and it's just like something was wrong. And I called home and talked and said, I just felt so lonely, like, you know, there's just something wrong, something missing. So he said, I cut my trip short, and I went back home. And I spent some time with my wife. I spent some time with my children, but it was still there. There's something, it just wasn't right. I was just dealing with this loneliness. And then he said, it finally dawned on me. And he was kind of giving himself a thumbs down here. He said, finally, he realized what it was. He said, I excused myself from my wife and my children. He said, I went into the bedroom and I closed the door. And I got down on my knees and just had a long talk with the Lord. He said, that thing lifted off of me. Joy filled my heart. The peace came back. He said, I was lonely for the Lord. And you know, sometimes as a believer, we boldly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to live for Him. He's our master. But you can get busy. You can get bound up with so many things going on in your life. Good things. With people you love. Having a great time. But in the middle of that, if we kind of do the, you know, scooting away from the Lord and we're not connecting there like we need to, we'll start losing our peace. And it's like this spiritual barometer in us starts alerting us, you need some time with your Heavenly Father. And that's just the truth often. That's the antidote many times. In particular, when we're having one of those days where you know, again, depending on your personality and so forth, sometimes your way of dealing with stress is just to withdraw. Withdraw from people or dealing with conflicts, just to withdraw. But we never need to pull that on the Lord. We need to always move toward Him. That's His invitation. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And sometimes that loneliness, there can be one step we can take that can help, and that's draw near to the Lord. Let's talk for a moment about what the effects of loneliness are. There are physical effects, there are emotional, soulish effects, and there are spiritual effects. Now, I have up here, it affects your mental health. There's been a lot of studies done on this. People who withdraw, live in solitude, and become extremely lonely, they can become filled with anxiety. They can become depressed. It can affect your spiritual health, temptation to withdraw from fellowship from other people. You know the story of the pastor that visits a man that had been out of church for a while and they're at the fireplace and he's trying to explain to him why he needed to be a part of a group of people, and he took the fire poker and put a coal out by itself away from the other coals, and what happened? It grew cold quickly. As long as it was with the other burning coals, it stayed on fire. And that's just true. It goes back to what I was just saying about our soul's not at rest until it finds its resting place in God. So it affects our spiritual health. We can get into all kinds of vain imagination. We can start doing a lot of negative prophesying over ourselves. We can start forming wrong opinions about other people. And I am so grateful here for the number of people we have in this fellowship that care for one another. We have four very faithful care teams that are checking on people. We have Pastors Gary and Susie and Betty and Hugh that are constantly contacting people, checking on people. And beyond that, many of you are doing that because you're wanting to check on you. You didn't see a friend on a Sunday or something like that. Sister Pat has recently ran point on a new ministry called Tables of Grace. She and some other people here in our fellowship, where they are providing a meal and going and sitting at a table with some of our homebound people or people that can't get out and about anymore, and just having a time of fellowship around the table. And that really is connecting with one of the prophetic words that Chuck Pierce has had, and also that's been released in our All in Alabama movement about spending time at the table of the Lord for the fellowship. And this is just really, really important. But our spiritual health can be affected. Our physical health, their higher stress, your cortisol levels and all that kind of stuff. You become fatigued. And then also your purpose, this feelings of usefulness or lack of meaning. And there's lots of studies that as we grow older and age, people that just kind of put it in neutral and don't stay involved in some meaningful purpose in their life, that is not good for you. Listen, this idea of retiring, now I'm not saying that you should work at the job you've got right now the rest of your life, but don't interpret retiring as just like shutting everything down and having no purpose. You need to be engaged. You need to be involved. That's so important for your health. And sometimes it's very difficult maybe to reengage if you've gone through some type of deep loss or deep hurt. So I'm really just trying to encourage all of us tonight to be aware of this and to be proactive so that we make sure that we're having these meaningful relationships that are so important. And let's talk for a moment about how do I move from loneliness to contentment. Now, I've already touched on this a little bit, but here's the place to start. Acknowledge it before God. Acknowledge it before God. Don't hide it. Pray honestly like David did in the Psalm. Hey, I'm lonely, Lord. I'm afflicted. You know, help me. Share it with a friend. Well, I would if I had one. You know, because that's the kind of place it can take you. Well, if anybody was really cared about me, they would be checking on me. Well, maybe you've not told anyone that you have a need. I'm sure I'm not the, and I've got great help here that our church is set up where we as pastors have different areas where we're focused on. And so I'm so grateful, as I mentioned earlier, about the care that's given. But I remember when I was in a much smaller church a number of years ago, this has happened several times, where someone's mad at the whole church because they were sick, but they hadn't told anyone. And I'm not talking about over a long period of time, just, you know, it's like you should be so prophetic that you just know it. So I'm just saying, if you're struggling with that, let someone know. Let someone know. Because there are people who do care. Let someone know. Acknowledge it. Start with the Lord. Acknowledge it before God. Secondly, abide in His presence daily. Have you noticed the things that you need to pray about and go before the Lord about and get in the Word about? Those very things keep you from wanting to pray, from wanting to get in the Word, from wanting to spend time with the Lord about? It's interesting, isn't it? That shows us that there's truly warfare to keep you disconnected from God, to keep you disconnected from others. If you want to do an interesting study sometime, study the broad meaning of the word death in Scripture. In New Testament terms, we're told that death occurs when the spirit leaves the body. That's what James teaches us. But typically in the Scripture, death means separation. And there's different deaths. There is spiritual death. God told Adam, the day you eat the fruit from that tree, the day you do that, what's going to happen? You shall surely die. They died when they ate the fruit. Well, but they ran and hid, so they weren't dead. They died. Their spirit was isolated from God from that moment. That connection spiritually, God is spirit. That spiritual connectivity, it was severed at that moment. They died spiritually. Lost people, the New Testament teaches us, they are dead in trespasses and sins. So there's spiritual death. The second type of death is physical death. And that's when the spirit leaves the body. This body returns to dust from whence it came. Our spirit leaves the body. And then there's eternal death. The Bible calls this the second death in relation to you know, when you die and your body's buried and your spirit leaves your body, that the eternal death is eternal separation from God. When judgment comes at the great white throne judgment, and a person's fate is eternally sealed, you will forever be separated from the heavenly city and the new heaven and the new earth, and you will be in outer darkness. The Bible uses the designation hell, and different words are used. Gehenna, the place where it was a garbage dump where there was were just were putrid trash, and where worms were, and the fire was continually burning. And hell is not a nice place. It is a tormenting place. To live a life away from everything that's good, holy, perfect, and pure. And a lot of people today are teaching there is no hell because they don't like the idea of it. But whether or not you like the idea of it, it doesn't change the fact that our Lord Jesus said it is a place that was created for the devil and his angels, and those who choose to do his bidding and reject God in this life will be with him in eternity. Not God, but with the devil and his angels. So that's a reality. But death is about isolation. It's about separation. It's about no connectivity with anyone. And so you can see there's going to be warfare around your life for you to stay connected with God and with others in meaningful ways. And the connection in a marriage where the two become one, and the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined his wife, and they being two shall become one flesh. They are one in spirit, one in soul, one in body before the Lord. There is a oneness there. And that's so powerful, and that's so life-giving. But when the devil gets in there, it becomes so difficult for many people that they dissolve the marriage. And the Bible teaches, let not what God's joined together be torn asunder. And Jesus taught that Moses allowed it because of the hardness of men's heart. People's hearts are still hard. It still happens. But it's not God's original design. But when you look at it from these terms, you can see why there's so much warfare. And people having the kind of communion in their marriage relationship that God wants them to have. There's warfare there. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Death is about separation. And what the Holy Spirit does in the body of Christ and in a marriage is about union, unity, communion. And that's where the productivity takes place. Unless a husband and wife come together, there can be no productivity. There can be no fruitfulness. Well, that principle applies in our social interactions with people. That to have fruitful lives, productive lives, comes out of these meaningful relationships. Like this weekend about the business world, there are certain people that business people network with that when they get the synergy of bringing their ideas and collaborating together on things, then new things can be birthed out of that, where the small becomes larger and the larger becomes even larger. And that's God's way, I do believe. Now, a third thing is engage in meaningful fellowship. Join a small group. Get involved in church. Volunteer in some way. Take the steps to connect. And that can be hard if you're depressed, and you just don't want to be around anybody because it reminds you of that person that's no longer around that you want to still be around. And that's hard. I'm not up here tonight saying, hey, 1, 2, 3, get it done. I know that's hard. It's difficult. It's painful. But you're still breathing, and God's got purpose for you. And yes, it takes time, and it takes different lengths of times for people to go through a loss or go through some difficult thing. But press into the Lord and let him help you, because there's still purpose that he has for you being here. And that's so important for us to understand. So we need to engage in meaningful relationships, meaningful fellowship. And then reach out by giving out intentionally. You take the first step toward conversation and connection with people. And some of you, that's easy. I mean, I'm amazed, and I know this sounds strange to you because I can get up here and talk an hour. But put me with 2 or 3 people, and it's hard. That's hard for me. And I've had to learn how to try to be decent at that. This is easy. You know, I'm anointed to do this. I feel like this is what I'm made to do. But some people, they just connect so easy. They never meet a stranger, and it just rolls. Other people, it's really difficult. So it takes a lot more effort and concentration, and it's stressful at times. But thank God that I believe all of us can have some friendships where you can be you and they can be they, and everybody's happy with it, you know. And I think the Lord wants us to have those kind of relationships. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is this anchor verse to hang on to. Hebrews 13:5. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I remember in November of 1983, I went on my first ever mission trip to Nigeria, West Africa. At that time, there was no way to communicate from here to there. There might be a phone or two somewhere in a large city you could call, but we were unable to call home for 18 days. Andrew was a year old. He wasn't quite a year old when I was gone. Hadn't been married that long. And it was hard for me. They separated us when we got there. I was put with a Nigerian family, and it was just a different environment. I had a cousin that was on the team. They put him out in a little primitive camp, and he had it really rough. But the first night I was there, a young man, he took me to his apartment, and I stayed there the first night. A city of 1 million people, there were no street lights. We left the missionary's house, and I walked with this young man down those dark streets in that huge city till we got to his place. And I felt an aloneness that I had never experienced before, because I was on the other side of the planet, and I had just met this young man like an hour earlier, and I'm thinking, if he keels over, I don't know where to go, who to call, who to get in touch with, or anything. It's my first time. I'd hardly ever been out of the county. And so it was a big deal, and I'll be honest with you, there was a night or two when I lay in there in my bed, and I wept because I miss my little boy, and I miss my wife. And but yet I knew I was going to get to go back home, you know. But when you lose someone, that's stretched out a ways, isn't it? Or think about a soldier that's deployed on the other side of the planet, with people shooting at him or her, separated from their family, separated. Think about what that must be like, that loneliness that can be present there. And this verse reminds us, regardless of where we are, what situation we're dealing with, as a believer, this is not just something to preach, it's the truth. As a believer, we are never truly alone. The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit is ours by the promise of God Himself. Here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So in your loneliest moment, this verse is still true. And that's where you try to, get what little faith you might have and say, Lord, I don't feel like you're here. I don't sense your presence. But I know you're here because you would not lie to me. And so I thank you for being with me. I'm developing something I'm working on that I've actually got a little book in process. But it's just a way that I'm using to pray lately, and it's around some words. But the first one is, it begins with just acknowledging God's presence in my life. Lord, thank you that you're here this morning, And I do this when I'm out walking a lot of times. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're not going to leave me nor forsake me today. No matter what this day holds or what comes in front of me, I am not alone. You are here to help me. Thank you, Lord, because of your presence, you said the Holy Spirit would be my helper. You said you would show me the things I need to see. Lord, you're the resident teacher. Through your Spirit, you're indwelling me. You're going to instruct me. You're going to guide me. Thank you for your presence. And Lord, I'm not with my kids today. I got one in Fayetteville. I've got one in Madison. I've got two here in Florence. And they're out and about. My grandkids are out and about. Thank you that you're with them too. Thank you that you're present with my family, that you're watching over my children, you're watching over my spouse. And I just pray in that way. And then I have some other words that I build prayers around that I move through. But it makes it real easy to pray for a while and not even realize, you know, time passes. And I am finding it to be refreshing, but also very connecting in my communion with the Lord. But it begins with this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No one knows loneliness more fully than the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung on the cross, as he hung there, all the pain of all the collective loneliness of all of us, he bore him. Because that separation, ultimately that separation is because of the curse in some way. And at one point he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you can allow me to say this and if you can receive it, because Jesus went through, because of the depth and depravity of our sins, went through experiencing that separation from God the Father. He went through that so that you and I, through faith in him, would never have to. Ever, ever again. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because of what Christ did on the cross, you can have the assurance he is still with you, believer. But you don't know what I've done. Well, he sure does, and he's the one that promised, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I want you to bow your heads with me now for a moment, and I want you to just spend a few moments thanking the Lord that he is with you now. Maybe you've been doubting that. Maybe you feel like, there's not much evidence he's been with me. Don't let your thoughts carry you to that place. No good will happen there. Anchor them back in this word, that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Anchor there. Start there. He is not a man that he should lie. He is with you. He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will bless you. He will meet your needs. Father, thank you tonight for these simple truths. Thank you for your presence with us. And Father, help us to be mindful of those who may be struggling with loneliness. Help us to be sensitive to this, Lord. Help us to take the extra step to encourage, to bless, to help, to strengthen others, ourselves. And Lord, for those who may be here tonight dealing with loneliness, give them the courage to sow into the life of someone else companionship, knowing that as they give that away, that's what they'll receive themselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this all-encompassing promise. As a believer, I'm never alone. And I pray that there'd be healing right now from any past hurts, any walls that have been built that may be keeping people from connecting again. Oh, I pray you'd pour your healing oil into hearts tonight, Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for boldness of the Holy Spirit to come for those who may find it difficult to connect, or maybe they haven't had a lot of success in trying to connect with other people. May the Holy Spirit be their help tonight in Jesus' name. Now, would you please stand with me across the room? I'm going to ask our prayer team members to be here. We're about to dismiss, but I want some up here in case some of you need prayer. You can make your way forward after we dismiss. Just come on up. There will be someone here to pray with you and help you. Please pray again about inviting someone to come with you this coming Sunday. Dave Nolan will be in the house Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Try to give away some of that friendship in the next few days to some other folks. Ask the Lord, Lord, is there someone I know that's struggling with this that I can reach out to? Be a voice of hope in someone's hurting life tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may you be filled anew and afresh with His Holy Spirit. May the fire within you be rekindled. May joy bubble over, fullness of joy that comes from being in the Lord's presence. And may He give you the eyes to see that person that needs that encouraging word. In the name of our Lord Jesus, may His grace, His mercy, and His peace abound in your lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. And thank all of you for being here tonight. This altar is open. If any of you need prayer, feel free to come on up. There will be someone here to pray with you.